Mary, did you know? Songwriter Mark Lowry asked the question. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? That he would save people from their sins? That he would heal people of all kinds of infirmities and sickness? That he had raised people from the dead? Mary, did you know that your baby was the Creator? The I Am of Scripture? That he would one day rule this whole world? Mary, did you know? What do you suppose her answer would be? Maybe Scripture gives us a clue. A clue to how Mary might have answered Mr. Lowry's question. It's in Luke chapter 2, verse 19. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. Father, thank you for our time in your word. Thank you for this season and where so many people hear about you in different ways. And thank you for the privilege of us being able to come this morning and open your word and think about all the great things you have done. All the great things you have done for us. And give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Wonder is an appropriate word to describe the mysteries of Christmas and the miraculous intervention of God. But it's one of those words that has lost much of its significance today because of misuse and overuse. A cup of Starbucks eggnog coffee is wonderful, right? A performer on American Idol becomes an overnight wonder. In our Sunday school class recently, we were mentioning the Hanging Gardens of Babylon as being one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. But even those great feats, those mysterious engineering feats, fall short of wonder. Those things were created by humans. Maybe we still don't know exactly how they put them all together. But there is an explanation for it. But the Christmas story is beyond human explanation. It's a wonder. Wonder speaks of omnipotence. Wonder speaks of omnipresence. Wonder speaks of creative power. Wonder speaks of God. George Beverly Shea caught the essence of it when he wrote, "There's the wonder of sunset at evening, the wonder at sunrise I see. The wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me. There's a wonder of springtime and harvest, the sky, the star, the sun. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that's only begun." Oh, the wonder of it all. The wonder of it all. Just to think that God loves me. The fact that God loves me, that God loves you, is a wonder. It's even more of a wonder why he loves us as he did. He sent his own son to die for us in our place. That's the very essence of the Christian faith. But how can we possibly understand it? It's a wonder. It defies human understanding. Now, with those thoughts in mind, let's go back to Luke chapter 2, verse 19. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. It says she treasured all of these things. She kept them close. She preserved. She kept them safe. And she pondered them. To ponder means to consider something deeply and thoroughly, to weigh carefully in our minds, to put one thing with another in considering circumstances. Ponder means to fit things together in our minds where there's an understanding. Pondering is what you ladies do when you decorate. You want to get everything just right. You want the colors to be all right. You want everything to be in its right place. And so you move things around and put things here and put things there and change here and change there. And finally, you get it. It fits. It's all in the right place. And your hubby hopes it'll stay there for a while. But Mary is putting things together in her mind. All these things. All of what things? All these things that have happened in her life in the last 9 months. She is treasuring those things and putting them together. Putting all things together that God has done. And coming to understand what it means for her and her family and her baby. It's beyond human expectation and it's beyond human explanation. She's filled with wonder. What are all these things going through her thoughts? Well, on your notes, you have a place for eight. I got one more. We'll make it nine. Nine aspects of her life that she is going over, that she's thinking about, that she is pondering, putting them all together in terms of what God has done. First, I think she thinks about her background. She's from a normal first century Jewish family. She's just a normal Jewish young girl. She lives in a normal small town. She's planning on a normal wedding, normal family with Joseph. Silently, like all other Jewish young girls, she probably has occasional thoughts and aspirations of being the mother of the promised Messiah. But no, there's nothing in her background that would prepare her for this. There's nothing about her and about her whole background that would prepare her for such a privilege. So she thinks about her background. Then secondly, the angel visits, the angel Gabriel. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. She is thinking, she is remembering what the angel said. And she remembers how perplexed, how puzzled she was at what he said. Why was this angel coming to visit me? What does he mean, I'm favored by God? How is God with me? And then she remembers the angel's promise. Verse 30. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end." That sinks in. That starts to sink into her mind. She comes to recognize, I'm it. God has chosen me to be the mother of the Messiah. How can it be? She asked.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
How can it be? I'm not married yet. I'm still a virgin. Verse 35, the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God." Just imagine the emotions Mary is feeling at this point. Imagine the thoughts running through her mind. Amazement, awe, fear, doubt. All of these must have filled Mary's heart and Mary's mind. But notice how all of that dissolves into this statement. And Mary said, "Behold, the bondservant of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel left her. And now, 9 months later, here she is, stable in Bethlehem, and there's the child. She's putting all this together in her mind. Her background, the angel's visit, the angel's promise. And the fact that she is now pregnant. She's not married. She's not had sexual relations with a man, but she's pregnant. And she goes to visit Elizabeth, whom the angel told her was pregnant. So here's two women. Both of whom would be the most unlikely women to be pregnant. One is too old. One is a virgin. But here they stand. And when Mary enters, she greeted Elizabeth. And this is what Elizabeth said. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed be the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believes that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." Incredible. And Mary's response, and Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded for me for the humble estate of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, generations will count me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things to me." You talk about wonder. She's pondering all these things. Two divinely orchestrated pregnancies. And the affirmation of Elizabeth's words. And the two women being filled with such praise and worship and thanksgiving. It's incredible. But then she thought, when she had to go back home. She was with Elizabeth for 3 months. And she goes back home with all the normal feelings that every expectant mother experiences. But physical changes are taking place. Emotional changes are happening. The baby is growing. It's becoming obvious. There's a condemning look from the people she meets. There's the whispers behind her back. There's the sting of pointed words of accusations. There's questions about the true father. And probably the worst pain of all was the initial pain of her beloved Joseph when he found out. But then Joseph comes to her and tells her his visit from an angel. And this angel explained what has taken place and what it was all about. And he still wanted her to be his wife. Praise the Lord. Praise, incredible. And then there was that long, arduous journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabitants of earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and who was with child. Now, sitting there in the stable next to that manger. Mary is pondering this. I don't think she's thinking about the long journey and the difficulties of that journey. I think what she is thinking about is the timing of the decree. The decree from Caesar. She is thinking about how the sovereign God put the entire Roman Empire in motion to make it possible for her and Joseph to be at the place they needed to be when the baby was born. She was thinking how God sovereignly controlled all of these things. It's a wonder. And then she must have thought, too, about their accommodations. While they were there, the days were complete for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. No place to stay. Small community of Bethlehem, flooded with people from all over the empire, there for the same reason that they were there, because of the census. But someone, maybe the innkeeper, maybe someone else. But someone was willing to go above and beyond the call of duty. He or she, whoever it was, cared enough to make accommodations for Mary and Joseph in a stable. Primitive? Yes. But think about it, private. They were by themselves. They were not troubled by the mobs of people outside. This act of kindness enabled the Lamb of God to be born in a stable. Incredible. Amazing. And then there was the birth. Isn't it this birth that had been predicted way back in the Old Testament? This birth that the world had waited on for years? Well, Scripture says it happened. No big deal. She gave birth. That's all. No other details. But Mary must have experienced every emotion felt by every new mother. Think what she must have felt as she held that child for the first time. No, she's putting all this together. She's pondering, she's treasuring these things, she's putting them together. She's overwhelmed by what God has done. And then the shepherds show up. The shepherds show up and tell their incredible story. An angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to them. That was terrifying enough. But then the glory of the Lord shone around them. Scripture says they were terrified. You better believe it, they thought they were dead. The glory of the Lord had not been seen on earth in almost 6 centuries. And here it had been seen by these shepherds, and they're relating this to Mary. They were terrified, you bet. But then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there is been born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord, the Messiah. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. And then Mary, suddenly, there was a whole choir of angels. And they were singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." In verse 16, so they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about this child. Verse 18 says, all who heard it wondered at all these things. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary, did you know? I believe her answer would be yes. I knew. I didn't understand it all, but I knew who my baby was. Wonder of wonders. He is the Messiah, the Son of God. The one whose very name is wonderful. How about you? Do you know who he is? Your eternal future depends on it. We're going to stand and sing one stanza of number 127. The last sentence in this hymn says, there is room in my heart for thee. If Jesus is not in your heart right now, please invite him in as we sing.